Yeah, it's just a wonderful day to be here, gathered as His people, His church, His followers, His children, and to lift up His name and to get into His Word. We're continuing with our Sermon on the Mount sermon series with part 8, and it's titled Christian Living, Giving, Prayer, and Fasting, and we're starting in chapter 6 today. And Jesus begins to deal with some of these practical areas of Christian living, such as giving, praying, and fasting. And before we get into the Word, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Word, that we have it every day, that we can read it freely. Lord, we recognize that it is for the building up of our faith, learning about You. It is like food, like bread for nourishment for our souls. And Lord, we just pray that we do not neglect it in our everyday life. Lord, remind us to open our books, our Bibles, and to read. And Lord, we just pray that as we look at Your Word today, may it transform us, build us up, correct us, bring us closer to You. And Lord, may Your Holy Spirit just make it living in our everyday life. So we're not just hearers of the Word, but also doers of the Word, that we put it to practice. And Lord, we just thank You that You have given us Your living Word that transforms us today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this teaching continues to focus, that Jesus is focusing on the righteousness that exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees that He talked about in Matthew 5:20. Having corrected some of the more prevalent teaching and errors of the religious leaders from that day, such as murder, you guys remember that, adultery, these type of things, and loving our enemies, these types of things that were misunderstood, Jesus now proceeds to point out the error of their actions in regards to giving, praying, and fasting. While Jesus specifically mentioned these three aspects of Christian living, His words and warning extends to all areas of Christian life. But today we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 8 to begin with. And let's read them together. So if you have your word, you can open it up and you can also follow along on the screen behind me there. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So there's an expectation of us that Christ lays out to give. It is made plain that the Lord expects those who follow Him, who belong to Him, who are His disciples, to be involved in giving in order to meet the need of others. This is evident from His words when He says, "Thus, when you give to the needy," not if, but when you give to the needy, Jesus expects his followers to be involved in reaching beyond themselves and helping those who are in need. And we have no reason to believe anything different from us today. Jesus still expects his church, his people, to give to the needy, to help them. So take a moment right now. Think about, when was the last time you gave to help somebody in need? Was it this week? Was it this month? Was it last month? When was the last time you saw a person in need and you acted upon that need and you gave something to help them? I hope it's this past week or even this month. If you want to be involved in a ministry, Soup Day is coming up, 2 weeks Saturday. Get involved. If you can't, next month. But we have opportunities every day. There are people in need all around us that we can give and help out. Even at stoplights, we see people asking for help. We don't necessarily have to give them money. You might have a granola bar or something in the car that you can pass out, and many times they are so grateful for that. There are everyday opportunities that we can help people in need. And the Word of God has always spoken of the importance of doing good by giving to those in need. And it brings glory to our Heavenly Father when we do it in His name. And here are just a few verses that teach and talk about giving to those in need. Proverbs 14:31, whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, capital M, maker, referring to God. But he who is generous to the needy honors him. Ephesians 4:28, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. And 1 John 3:17, but if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? While our giving is characterized by compassion and love, it is also to be conducted with caution. Psalm 112, verse 5 says, it is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. It's important that we don't let our emotions overrule our sense of good judgment. We must exhibit good judgment in our giving because, brothers and sisters, we know some people have no conscience. There are people in this world who are professional con men and scam artists and people who would abuse those things that we would give them. And the Bible is clear in our teaching of a responsibility to give those in need, and we should do with good judgment that we are actually helping them in a good way. And the Bible is clear that we have a responsibility to give, and to fail to give is a direct disobedience of our Lord, our God, and His commands. Praying, once again, it's made unmistakably clear that Jesus expects His followers to be involved in the practice of prayer. He said, and when you pray, once again, when you pray, not if you pray, when you pray. In no less degree, Jesus expects the modern day believers, us, His church, to be praying people. It's an all-important spiritual exercise. It strengthens us. It builds up our faith. And the scripture abounds with references, with commands, and commends us to practice prayer. Just a couple Bible spots. Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to Him. In Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Man, praying at all times in the Spirit, that is just something. That is a challenge. How do you pray at all times in the Spirit? Throughout your day, you have access to pray and talk to God. And that's what we're striving for, to walk in prayer in our everyday life. Is that something you do? With all prayer and supplication. There is no prayer request too small to bring before our Heavenly Father. Or too prayer request too large to bring to our Heavenly Father. He loves to hear the prayers of His people. And He hears them and He answers. Prayer is the most wonderful opportunity we have to fellowship with God. Have you ever thought about that? You're fellowshipping with God when you're praying. If you're wondering, how can I build up my relationship, a personal relationship with my Lord and Savior, prayer is the answer. Pray. If you're thinking, why do I feel so distant from God? Pray. It will bring you closer to Him. You are fellowshipping with God. And it's the most powerful spiritual weapon we have at our disposal in our fight against our flesh, against the world, and against Satan. There is tremendous power in prayer. And neglecting prayer displeases God. It diminishes our effectiveness and decreases our ability to defend ourselves spiritually from spiritual attacks and temptations. And after this, Jesus goes into an example of prayer known as the Lord's Prayer. And we're not going to go through that today. I did preach on it back in January, so go back and listen to that, and we'll also probably cover it in our next sermon on this series. But let's go down to fasting in verse 16 to 18. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Biblical fasting is undoubtedly one of the most, if not the most, neglected spiritual practices in modern day church. I honestly believe that. We don't fast enough. I don't fast enough. We should be fasting more. Can I hear an amen? Awesome. We should be fasting for more, and we should be learning how to make fasting a regular part of our spiritual life. So let's take this as a challenge as a church, and as every single person here, myself included, let's fast more as we pray and ask God for whatever it is we're asking for. And same thing here. Jesus does not use the word if you fast, but when you fast. When you fast. He fully expects His followers to fast when they pray. Men and women in both testaments are said to have fasted for various reasons through periods of time. Among those spoken are of Hannah in 1 Samuel and King David in 2 Samuel, Ahab in 1 Kings, Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles, Ezra in the book of Ezra, Nehemiah in the book of Nehemiah, Esther in the book of Esther, Daniel in the book of Daniel, and Anna the prophetess in Luke, workers at Antioch in Acts, and of course Paul fasted many times. And there are so many examples, and even Jesus Himself fasted for how many days and nights? 40. The Lord, our Savior, fasted as well, and we're supposed to be His followers, imitators of Christ, so we should be fasting when we pray. It's interesting because nowhere in Scripture is fasting, when done properly, discouraged, and it's not commanded, but it is commended, and it is encouraged. And quite often prayer and fasting are mentioned together as one thing in God's word, and it is an expected part of Christian living. And from both testaments, it's clearly seen that there are occasions when fasting is both needed and helpful. And there's a reward. There is a compensation for doing these things properly, right? Jesus is clear to teach that when done properly, giving, praying, and fasting would be duly rewarded by our Heavenly Father. Not only in these scriptures, but when we read things like in Hebrews 6:10, for God is not unjust so as to overlook your work and the love that you have done, or the love that you have shown for His name in serving the saints as you still do. In Proverbs 11:18, the wicked earns deceptive wages, but the one who sows righteousness gets a sure reward. In fact, we are rewarded in our everyday life on a nearly daily basis as we become recipients of God's favor when we follow His word and do these things. And if not in this life, then in the life to come when we're in glory. But Jesus also warns of a despicable way of doing these things, a despicable attitude. In this portion of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus not only celebrates the proper practices of giving and praying and fasting, but He also warns us of a perversion of the same. It is quite obvious from Jesus' teaching in these verses that it's possible to misuse and abuse these practices that are meant to be honoring to God and helping our neighbor. The despicable attitude that is condemned by Jesus is that of spiritual arrogance. Arrogance, better known in the scriptures as pride. Pride. Pride in giving, pride in praying, pride in fasting. If we seek personal recognition for doing so, it forfeits our reward. What is the motivation for your giving? What is your motivation for praying? What is your motivation for fasting? What is your heart's attitude? Is it prideful? Is it humble? Anyone who gives, prays, and fasts solely for the praise of men and women and exaltation of self have their reward, Jesus says. They've received their reward already. And there is no reward whatsoever from God. The individual who chooses the reward of man over God's reward has chosen the poorest of all rewards. Are you choosing that reward? It's a sobering thought and question. It really is. And not only are we choosing the poorest rewards when we do this, we've also cheated ourselves. There is no hope of having anything in respect to rewards beyond this world. What a terrible fate that is. Jesus uses the word hypocrites. Hypocrites. None of us wants to be called a hypocrite, right? I learned as a kid, when you point your finger at somebody, there's always three fingers pointing back at you. So our actions many times can be hypocritical, right? But the Greek word hypokritis means an actor who puts on a show, who plays a part on a stage, this kind of word expressing this kind of act of putting on a show. And the hypocrites spoken of the Lord here, Jesus, in these verses are those who play to the crowds, to the people. And this type of arrogant acting may gain applause from men and women, but it does not merit approval from God. Which are you seeking? Applause? Honor from men and women? Or approval of God? You know, as a pastor, that's a constant song and dance for me. It's a struggle. It is so important to keep the right attitude, that to please God is the goal, and not to please men and women, and not to seek for approval of people, but approval of God above all else. Arrogant giving versus acceptable giving. Good deeds may be done in an ill way, as is illustrated by the hypocritical giving of the people in Jesus' day. The use of the phrase, sound no trumpet before you, tells us that we're not to do these things in order to get people's attention. You guys ever heard the phrase to toot your own horn? Or to blow your own horn? I think this is kind of where it comes from, right? You're calling attention to yourself, what you're doing, so that you may be seen by others. Maybe like, hey, look at me. I'm so awesome. I'm doing these things. I'm able to do these things. You know, lift me up. We're not to toot our own horn before our people. Far from being noticed, our good deeds are to be done as much as possible without others knowing about it. It is not always wrong to give when people see us, but it's always wrong to give so that people will see us. We should strive to be secretive and unnoticed in our giving, that even our left hand doesn't know what our right hand is doing. Which is a descriptive way in saying that we are to keep our mind on the need and not what we are giving. Our giving ought to be done out of a sincere desire to help. A motive to help and love on people. It ought to be motivated by this genuine concern and love for our neighbor. And not, what am I going to gain from this? Are people going to notice and say, man, that Yarno's a good guy giving to people? That's not the motive. It's more of them, I want to help people. I want to love on people. In doing good to others, we are to do so quietly and even secretly, keeping a low profile and staying out of the center of attention. And by doing so, Jesus says, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Isn't that just awesome? The God of the universe, the creator of all things, who sits on the throne, the eternal throne, will reward you. Amen. Prideful praying versus proper praying. Is it possible to pray and never be heard by God? Is it possible to pray and to be speaking only to ourselves? Is that a possibility? The parable Jesus tells of the tax collector and the Pharisee in Luke chapter 18, 10 to 14 indicates that these are definitely a possibility. Let's read it together. Two men went into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Lord's teaching in this sermon also suggests that these things are quite possible. When the hypocrite prays in Matthew 6, 5, he prays to men and is to be heard by men. And when the genuine believer prays to his Father, Matthew 6, 6, he is heard by his Father and rewarded. Prideful prayer is prayer that focuses more on the one doing the praying. than the one to whom the prayer is being addressed to. Prideful praying is prayer that uses vain repetition. This is praying that is nothing more than repeating the same words and phrases over and over again without without putting one's heart into the prayer and thought of what is being said. Pride comes into play in this type of praying when the one praying thinks that God is more likely to hear them because their prayers are long and fancy words are used. The number of minutes spent in prayer means nothing if the motive is not right. I think one can spend even hours in prayer, and if the motive is not right, it's not honoring God. But I hope to think if you're spending hours in prayer, you are honoring God. In essence, Jesus tells us to kind of cut to the chase. There's no need to use elaborate phrases and words in praying. You talk to God in an honorable way, for He is still God. But God already knows our needs before we even say them, Jesus says. And all we have to do is go to Him and simply ask Him to meet those needs. It's contrast the hypocritical prayers offered by some. And Jesus tells us to pray properly. In His instruction, He mentions the place, the privacy, and the privilege of proper prayer. And first of all, the place, we're to enter into a closet, so to say. Find a hidden place, a private place. That is where to find a place to pray that is set apart, that allows us to get alone with God and Him only. Like Mark chapter 1, verse 35 says of Jesus, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, He, Jesus, departed and went out to a desolate place, and there He prayed." This is what Jesus did. Jesus, our Lord and Savior Himself, went away from people into a desolate place to pray to His Heavenly Father, to be praying in secret. And we're to follow that example, as Jesus teaches. Privacy, the phrase, "go into your room and shut the door and pray," speaks of privacy. It is important that we have a private place to pray, where we can avoid interruptions and disturbances. Don't take your phone with you into that place, because you will get distracted. Do you have such a place? Do you seek such a place to pray in every day? And prayer is a privilege. The privilege of praying to God in a place of privacy is knowing that when we properly pray to our Heavenly Father, He will hear us and answer us. That's why Jesus said, "And when your Father sees in secret, will reward you." God openly rewards proper praying by meeting our needs from day to day. And the same thing goes with hypocritical fasting versus scriptural fasting. Like giving and praying, hypocritical fasting is done for recognition. Jesus said when the hypocrites fasted, everyone knew they were fasting because of their sad posturing and disfigured faces. Jesus said that the proper way of fasting is done unto God and not men. When observing a scriptural fast, nothing is to be done to draw attention to ourselves. Every effort actually should be made to appear normal in our appearance and behavior. Scriptural fasting, though done in secret, will be rewarded openly, whether we are rewarded openly before men in this life or in eternity is up to our Heavenly Father. And we can be reassured that there is a reward that will come. So today is a good day to examine our own Christian life, to ask ourselves the plain truth. Do I give to the needy? Is that a regular part of my spiritual life, of my Christian life? And how do I do it? Why do I do it? What is the attitude of my heart? What is my motive? Is it pride, or do I do it humbly? What about my prayer life? Do I pray mostly in public, such as places like church? Do I only pray when others around me are praying? Or do I have a private, intimate prayer life before God? And which one is more prevalent? I think the private one should be more prevalent. It needs to be more prevalent. And do I fast? When did I fast last? Is God calling me to fast today over something? Do I make fasting a priority in my prayer life? These are really sobering questions that we should be asking ourselves, and not just asking, but acting on them in the proper way. So let's align our lives with God's word. More and more, let's conform ourselves to Christ's teaching. And it's just so great going through the Sermon on the Mount, as you know, we pursue as Christ as his disciples, and to conform into his teaching and to be more like him. So let's close off in prayer.